Oh, I didn't realise it at all. I was always convinced, right up until tonight, that it was going to work out. It was inevitable.
4-2, Forest lead, forward by Tudgate, looking for Earnshaw. Mistake, Earnshaw in! Earnshaw buries it! Forest have hit 5 against Derby!
A fantastic free kick for Nottingham Forest. And Pearce has done it again.
Big moment this, Hughes! A shot for Longo!
25 yards out, he's going to shoot! Oh, what a goal from John Stead!
Ben Davis, yes! Fantastic free kick! Notts County double their lead, and now they are dreaming of Meadow Lane!
Lucy seeking Cohen, he's got the better of Matter. Now Chris Gunter, storming into the box. And the volley from Majewski! Fantastic goal for Nottingham Forest from Majewski! An absolute beauty! And now 2-0!
3 minutes to go, stoppage time. 1-1. As Bent is beaten in the air by Wilson. Ball breaks for Tesha. Tesha left-hand side for Osborne. Bit of space for Ben Osborne towards the edge of the penalty area. The youngster goes on and smashes it home! What a strike from Ben Osborne!
This is URN Sport.
Yes, welcome to Over the Trent, the second episode of this Nottingham Forest and Notts County podcast, brought to you by the boys at URN Sport. I'm joined in the studio today by Joe and Tom. On today's podcast, we're going to be talking about the signing of Shola Amiobi by Notts County. We'll be talking about the fantastic win that Nottingham Forest had last week against Aston Villa, as well as the post-match reaction of their manager Gary Brazil, who's been appointed until the end of the season, and Kevin Nolan's reaction to Notts County's loss against Accrington at the weekend. We're going to start, though, by listening to a clip about the signing of Shola Amiobi by Notts County.
It's great, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about playing, and that's all that matters. You do all the work throughout the week, and for those games, you know, regardless of who you're playing, you know, you still get the same buzz, still get the same feeling, the adrenaline still pumps, and you know, you want to go out there and give all you can. So I'm really looking forward to the game. Like I said, it's been since the end of last season, since I played my last game, competitive game. So I'm excited, and hopefully we can start off with the way we need to go forward, which is obviously winning the game.
So Joe, you heard there, Shola Amiobi keen to get involved with Notts County, try and get them out of that relegation scrap they're in at the moment at the bottom of League 2. Do you think that's the kind of signing that can lift the team?
I think it could work one of two ways. They've signed a lot of experienced players in the past, Notts County, who are kind of at the end, at the twilight of their careers, the likes of John Stead, Alan Smith, Jonathan Fort, I suppose, as well. So in that sense, I think that's not really what County are after. They probably need a bit more of young firepower and flair going forward that's going to be able to get them some goals. But nonetheless, Shola's experience in the Premier League will no doubt be very useful for this relegation battle. Although he hasn't played since the end of last season, he just said that there in the interview, so he's not been a regular at Fleetwood Town, who he's on loan from for the duration of this season. So yeah, I think it could work one of two ways. It's just a case really of how he applies himself in the next couple of games. Needs to be in the mindset that goals are, they're just going to have to come thick and fast if County are going to get out of this relegation battle, because they're 22nd in the league now. I know that's slightly better than 23rd before Nolan took over, but nonetheless still in much turmoil down at Meadow Lane.
Absolutely, and with the worst goal difference in the league, Tom, you have to say that County must be looking for goals, and a man like Shola Amiobi, who's, you know, he's scored goals in all levels of the game, they must be looking for him to make an immediate impact alongside John Stead.
They'll definitely need that. I was actually surprised to see them sign the experience in attack rather than defence, because they obviously got the Arsenal loanee who has never played for Arsenal, so pretty inexperienced, and defence is clearly where they're lacking. They've got the worst in the division, I think. And yeah, so to see them sign all that experience up top and not in defence was quite surprising to me. But undoubtedly, Amiobi has got the quality, and although you've got to consider that he is, I think, 35 now, that's older than their manager, Nolan. So probably a younger player up top and an experienced one in defence is what they really should have looked for.
Do you think it points to Kevin Nolan's sort of insistence insistence that attack is the best form of defence, and he's already said that he's going to try and tighten them up at the back with the players they've already got. Obviously, with his experience playing under Sam Allardyce, I think he'll probably be a little bit more successful than most people are expecting in that department. But do you think that it points to the fact that he knows that this team are going to have to score a hell of a lot of goals to get out of that relegation fight?
Oh, absolutely. That's definitely the key if County are going to get out of this relegation battle. I mean, the likes of John Stead and Jonathan Fort, they're going to have to be scoring more goals. They're going to have to rediscover the form that they set at the start of the season, where they won a number of games actually in August and September under John Sheridan, and Stead and Fort were really at the heart of that. But no, nonetheless, I think the defence for sure needs shoring up. It's both ends of the pitch that need attention for Nolan's side. The defence against Crawley, that second goal was calamitous defending between Hayden Hollis and Duffy, I think it was. So there's definitely work to be done at both ends. But nonetheless, like Tom, I think we're both a little bit surprised at the signing, because surely young flair and firepower would be more on the agenda, you would have thought, of Nolan with all that experience that is already present in the County attack with the likes of Stead and Fort.
You're looking at a County team now that could potentially have a midfield duo of Kevin Nolan and Alan Smith, and then a strike force of John Stead and Shola Amiobi. So plenty of experience to go around, but like you said, not much youth and firepower and flair in that team. What do we think County are going to get up to in the next couple of weeks, because they've got a couple of tough fixtures just coming up in League Two? Obviously, a home game against Cheltenham is key tomorrow, but then also a home game against Exeter, who are very, very good at the moment. I remember a time when they were right down where Notts County are, but they've gone on a massive run of games without a loss and currently sit in fourth in League Two. So a very good side in Exeter, as well as an away game at Leyton Orient, who are currently only one of two teams in the Football League below Notts County, and then a home game against Yeovil, another very good side in League Two. I think if you look at those four games, Notts County come out of that with six, maybe 4 points, and things are starting to look up.
I think they definitely need to get a win under their belt. You'd argue that Leyton Orient would be the crunch match where they pretty much have to get a win. It's an absolute six-pointer, that match, against one of the two sides below Notts County in the Football League. But no, the other matches look quite challenging, especially that tie against Exeter City at home. Exeter, I think, fourth in the league at the moment, doing very well, pushing for promotion back to League One. Cheltenham as well, around about mid-table, and Yeovil, who are picking up the pace after a poor start to the season. So there's definitely reason for Nolan to think that they can get something out of the next two games. I see a win against Leyton Orient, and then possibly two draws against the others, and then maybe a defeat against Exeter this week. But they've got to respond in the way that they did against Crawley, which was a fantastic performance by Nolan's team. They created so many chances in that match. It's a miracle how the game stayed at 2-1, and they just showed real cut and thrust going forward and solidity at the back, which is what they need and what they've been lacking so much this season. But they just need to replicate that form and not show a performance like they did against Accrington last week, where they just capitulated.
Yeah, I think you're going to see it really depend on their home form in these next few games. Obviously, the away game to Leyton Orient is absolutely crucial, and if they can't get a result there, let alone a win, it is going to be worrying, and it does look like Nolan might not be able to turn them around. But certainly the home games is where I think County will depend on this season if they're going to stay up. Cheltenham is a must win. They're only a couple of points above them, I think. Exeter, you can probably accept a defeat there considering how good they've been this season. And then the next two games to Yeovil and Plymouth, maybe they can take a loss at Plymouth, but the home game to Yeovil is another must win.
Absolutely. I think the major key for Notts County is not capitulating like they have done at previous points this season. We've seen a stretch of games, I think it was around the November December time, where they lost by three or four goals for 3 or 4 weeks on the trot, and they simply can't have that. If they go one goal down, they can't let their heads drop, especially against a team as informed as Exeter. And I think that's where Kevin Nolan is really going to come into his own, because we saw John Sheridan with Notts County sort of giving them a bit more stick than carrot. And I think Kevin Nolan's going to be a little bit more encouraging to his players. He's not going to say they can't beat a pub side. He's not going to say they're village. He's going to come out and he's going to say that they're a good team with quality throughout the squad. And I think that's exactly what they need. They need a confidence boost from their manager at this point of the season. And here's what Kevin Nolan had to say following their 2-0 defeat away against against Accrington on Saturday.
It just seems like we're on a wave at the minute. You know, one week we get everything right and look really good, and the week after we go away from that. So disappointed, yeah. Probably didn't deserve the 2-0 scoreline, if I'm honest. Thought we had a few shouts. Penalty in the second half with Stead getting bundled over, but I think they had one where they had a reasonably one turned down. So just disappointed because we didn't do what we did and we didn't match them for physicality and all that type of stuff today. I think we had a better second half than first half. I think if the goal goes in with Steady when he goes through, I think, you know, it's a different game, but we can't be relying on that. And I think we only sort of responded once we did goal down, which is disappointing. I thought that we got on top in the second half, but just couldn't penetrate enough, and we couldn't get the chances and what we needed.
So Kevin Nolan, they're obviously very disappointed with the loss against Accrington, but very positive as well, saying that there was a lot of opportunities. John Stead went close twice in that game against Accrington, and you start to think that if even one of those goes the other side of the post and just creeps into the bottom corner, Notts County's heads go up, and there's the opportunity for them to go and get a second and equalise, and at the point in the game when those chances were missed, maybe even go on and win it, Joe.
Yeah, there's definitely been signs that Nolan's team have been sort of in a case of almost getting it right and being unfortunate because of near misses as well. They're kind of almost there in terms of getting some wins under their belt and relieving themselves of the relegation zone. I mean, Nolan's come out and said that the team aren't in a relegation battle. I think we'd all tend to disagree with them, but nonetheless, he's got to keep the team spirit high. He's got to raise the confidence because of the position that they're in, and the only way he's going to do that is by coming out in press conferences and praising his players, even if they are coming under defeats like the 2-0 defeat to Accrington. He does need to be positive going forward, and then that'll give the whole team a boost and increase the likelihood that they are ready to get out of this relegation battle.
Yeah, I think in that sense, Nolan's one of the best people you could have got in order to lift the spirit of players. He's obviously only just retired himself, and he's now obviously going back into playing for them, and having someone alongside them like that who understands what they're doing, what they're going through, is going to give them a massive boost. He's now a fellow player, a fellow teammate. He's not just their manager. So for him to give them the lift on and off the pitch, it's going to be really good for them.
Absolutely. Kevin Nolan, obviously key to Notts County's survival this season. But moving over the Trent, and we're going to talk a little bit about Nottingham Forest now. A massive 2-1 win at the weekend at home against Aston Villa. What a game it was. Both myself and Tom were there. And here's the highlights from that game.
Horahan able to step in. Grealish. On for Kodja! Brilliant! Absolutely devastating. Ward. Oh, awkward for Johnston. And Asson Belonga is there. And Forrest have found a way back. Well, when he's fit, he gets your goals. And those poaching instincts were so sharp.
It only takes a moment to change the headline. Here's Pineos.
Two on one against Aston Villa for Nottingham Forest at the weekend. Tom, you were there. What did you make of the performance, both from a Nottingham Forest fan's point of view and from a neutral's perspective as well?
Well, it was quality. It's been a massive improvement already under Gary Brazil, and Villa just typified that. We went toe-to-toe with Villa. They had some obvious quality in their ranks, and us with a midfield of Cash and Vaughan, they just matched their midfield of Hourihan, Bjarnason and Lansbury. They just performed adequately, you know, controlled the game. We took their chances, they didn't.
Absolutely. Joe, did you catch the game?
I did catch the game, yeah. It was a wonderful performance by Gary Brazil and his team to come back from a goal down, and a very good goal in the first half by Jonathan Codger after Villa had started on the front foot, I think was a real credit to the team and testament to how far they've come in the last couple of weeks under Gary Brazil, who's really raised the spirits down at the City Ground after they were in absolute destitute turmoil, I think, before that game against Bristol City and the Fawaz out protests. I think it really was a very unsavoury atmosphere down at, on the banks of the Trent, but nonetheless it was it's been just such an improvement since that game, albeit defeat against Leeds United. But they've won, I think is it two or three games under Brazil now.
Yeah,
it was the Rotherham match and the Bristol City win as well, and now this win against Aston Villa too. It's looking really promising, and looking that they're going to get out of the relegation battle. I think they're 8 points clear now of the relegation zone, which is a real transformation from where they were in 20th or 21st only a couple of weeks ago. So it's been really brilliant for them.
News coming out from the City Ground yesterday as well that Gary Brazil has been appointed as the manager until the end of the season. A good appointment, obviously, considering the results that he's got. And do you think now that Forest, now that they've got a little bit of stability with Gary Brazil as the manager, at least until the end of the season, Tom, that they are going to start maybe looking up the table instead of looking down?
I think certainly this season, I don't want to get too optimistic, but I've always thought we've had the players that really should be closer to the playoffs rather than relegation. Obviously they've really struggled this season, but I'd put that more down to their management, and now under Brazil they seem to have somebody who really understands them and organises them. So I think, don't want to be too optimistic, but you'd actually be looking more at mid-table now, apart from the doom and gloom that we had a few weeks ago that you thought they were just bound to go down.
Yeah, there was a stat that I read the other day that every season under Fawaz's leadership, Forest have finished lower in the Championship table than the previous season. So you'd obviously be hoping that they can finish higher up the table this year, Joe. And what did you make of the first performance in a red shirt of Zach Clough, obviously the new signing from Bolton Wanderers?
He was terrific, I think. He adds another dimension to that Forest attack. You've got the strength of Asamoah Belonga and his ability to get goals, but he's proven this season that he's not always been fit. So he provides, in that sense, a sort of dynamic, regular option as well. And I think he almost scored from a free kick as well. Came very close there. So he's got that set piece ability as well. Very lively, very eager to get forward and breaking through the lines of Aston Villa's defence. He was, particularly in the second half, really, really key to Forest's fight back in the game. And they've not just got Clough, you know, they've got Tish Bowler and Teixeira to come in possibly this weekend for their match against Norwich, and also Ross McCormack as well, who adds another dimension to the Forest attack.
Absolutely. We touched on Ross McCormack yesterday on the Thursday Sports Show on URN. But I just want to talk about the other team for a minute, because it's hard to talk about this game against Aston Villa without mentioning two of the Aston Villa players at least. I'm talking, of course, about the sending off of Jack Grealish and the return of the pantomime villain Henry Lansbury. What did you make of his performance, Tom?
I loved Lansbury, and he was obviously pretty brilliant for us at Forest. We should have made the most of the time we had with him and really pushed on for promotion with him, because he's a quality player. But against Villa, I have to admit, it was quite entertaining to see him struggle and sort of go missing in midfield. And then, of course, they hold up his number on about 70 minutes and everyone's jeering as he gets taken off, which I wasn't sure that was the right decision from Bruce. I don't think he'd actually played that badly, sort of putting the classic performance of getting all his passes away, and that's just his game. But yeah, Bruce took him off, I think, at 1-1, so why you take off such a controlling and commanding player at that point surprised me, but it was certainly nice to see a player who wanted to get out of the club have that sort of treatment.
Yeah, definitely. I enjoyed it as well, being down at the City Ground, and you know, a little bit of stick for Henry Lansbury for what he did to the Forest fans, because they loved him, and he was their captain, of course. Jack Grealish as well, he's been known for his petulance across his career, his short career already. got a yellow card for kicking the ball away in the first half and then tripped Eric Lehigh, received a second yellow, off he went, Joe.
Yeah, he's got that tendency, hasn't he, to be a bit petulant, a bit petty on and off the pitch. We've seen that many times in his career, like his antics in Tenerife, I think, two summers ago, when people were tipping him to become a regular in the England team, actually when Aston Villa were doing well in the Premier League. But no, on numerous occasions, on and off the pitch, he's been a bit misfiring, a bit unpredictable and enigmatic. And that only aided, really, Forrest's fight back in the game with his sending off. I think they probably would have got the win anyway. I think they looked like the momentum was with the home side in the second half. But no, I think Jack Grealish really aided that process, and he wants to watch out for that in his career, because the guy's got so much potential, but and could be not only a Championship but a real Premier League talent as well.
Absolutely, and I think we talked about it yesterday as well, Joe, but the wealth of attacking options that Nottingham Forest have now. We talked about it: Asombalonga, McCormack, Teixeira, Clough, Ward, Osborne, Velios, Bentner, all kinds of players now that they can throw on if they're chasing a game with 10 minutes left and really try and make a difference. But what do you, as a Forest fan, do you think that's a good thing? I mean, obviously they've been relatively free scoring in the Championship this season. It's been at the back where Forest have had troubles, and we talked about it with County earlier on in the podcast. Do you think that's a good decision from Gary Brazil to bring in the likes of Ross McCormack and João Teixeira?
Well, I think you could rarely argue against signing Ross McCormack. He's been pretty much the best player in the Championship for the past 3 or 4 years, getting 20 goals pretty much every season, and it's only this season at Villa where it seemed to have stopped. But we don't really know what's gone on there with the whole gate thing and with Bruce. He still has that undoubted quality, so when you have that option to sign him, you've got to grab it, even though we do seem to have far too many strikers now. You know, you've got Nicholas Bentner and Apostolos Velios barely managing to get on the bench now. And obviously Brereton, he's going to be featuring for the rest of the season after that goal.
Yeah, just want to touch on Ben Brereton. Obviously scored the winner at the weekend, only 17 years old. Are you now worried with Fawaz's past antics of selling some of your best players, particularly your young players? Obviously Darlow and Lascelles spring to mind in that double deal worth £6 million to Newcastle United. Are you not worried that Ben Brereton's going to go for just a fraction of the price that he's actually worth?
I'm pretty worried, yeah, I have to say. We have a history of pretty much every promising player coming out in the past few years goes after a season or two. Osborne is pretty much the only player who's survived that. And with Brereton being only 17 and already looking like a pretty decent player in the Championship, you're going to have big clubs circling. They're going to be offering, well, Burke went for £13 million after just a few games of his Forest career. So with Brereton at 17, I do worry, yes. But Fawaz spent a couple of million in the window. He says he's now committed to the club again, so we'll have to wait and see.
Like you said, Oliver Burke going for £13 million in the summer. Obviously, that was to the relatively big spending RB Leipzig in Germany, but he hadn't made that many appearances, and he's not played that much for RB Leipzig in the Bundesliga this season. So you have to think was that a poor piece of business from them? But that's not Nottingham Forest's problem anymore. They've got £13 million in their back pocket from that sale. But talking about Ben Brereton, here's what interim manager Gary Brazil had to say about the youngster after the game.
Ben. A young man who's got a lot to learn. We've worked really, really hard with him since we brought him into the club, and we'll continue to work very hard with him, and he'll get better and better. But you know, there was a massive contribution from a lot of players today, and there's some really good players out there with red shirts on, and Ben was the icing on the cake with the goal, but there was some really big contributions from a lot of Forest players today.
So Gary Brazil there mentioning the impact that youngster Ben Brereton made in the game against Aston Villa, but also praising the rest of the players, which is a very good tactic from the manager. Obviously everyone in a Forest shirt put in a shift. Tom, I was just wondering who you thought was the best player on the pitch on Saturday, because personally for me, I'd have said Stephen Henderson. He made a mistake in the first half that almost let centre-back Tommy Elphick score for Aston Villa, but then in the second half he made two or three fantastic saves, didn't he?
Yeah, certainly all of the players were playing well, especially Henderson, which is really nice to see, because he had a really difficult start to the season, came in and then was pretty much immediately dropped after only about three games for Stojkovic, who you can't say really improved on Henderson's form. So yeah, he made some, well, frankly, world-class saves a couple of times in the second half. But one player I'd really want to mention who doesn't often get picked out that much is Michael Mansion. Often he gets compared to the likes of Matt Mills and Jack Hobbs, who Hobbs, brilliant player in the Championship. Mills, I wouldn't say that much, but Mansion often doesn't get the plaudits he deserves in Forest games. I think he's a really quality defender. And then you've got Danny Pilios at left back. He was getting forward all evening against Villa, putting loads of crosses in, just waiting for somebody to get on the end of them. And then eventually, obviously, we had Sombalonga head down for Brereton.
The one player I'd pick out, aside from the ones you've mentioned there, would be David Vaughan. I thought he had a fantastic game against Aston Villa, because playing alongside Ben Osborne in that deep midfield role, I thought Osborne had been given the license by Gary Brazil to push forward. And I think Vaughan's ability to just remember where he is on the pitch and stay and let Ben Osborne go forward and try and create something, and then break up any Aston Villa attacks that came by him, and just lay the ball off to Osborne or to Matty Cash or to a more creative player. I think that really allowed Forest to open it up and really go after Aston Villa, especially after that Grealish sending off.
Yeah, Vaughan's really got that ability to not only do the simple thing as well, but he's got the vision to pick a pass out wide as well, spread the play, and his tackling ability as well, second to none. So in that sense, he's a vital cog in the Nottingham Forest midfield, and just adds really to that firepower going forward, and that link as well between defence and attack. It's vital that he's there to aid the less experienced heads in that midfield, the likes of Osborne and Cash, to give them that discipline to know that you can't always sort of get forward and not track back and all that sort of thing. So in that sense, he's a real vital piece in that midfield, and a great leader on the pitch as well, and bringing his wealth of experience of playing in the Premier League and being an experienced Championship player as well, he's a real key component.
Absolutely. And just lastly, I want to touch on the form of Britta Sombalonga. 3 goals in 2 games, obviously a double against bottom of the table Rotherham, and the equaliser against Aston Villa on Saturday. Are you optimistic about him for the rest of the season, or is there always that niggling little worry in the back of your mind that he's going to get injured and be out for an extended period of time?
He looks like a different player since he's come back. He's still got that, you know, instinctive ability to pounce on a ball in the box and stab it across the line, which you just can't teach, and I don't think that's ever going to leave him. But the way he looks different is when he was scoring loads of goals under Stuart Pearce, he was fast, he was dribbling round players, and now since his injury and he's come back after almost a year out, he does look a lot slower, but he's bulked up, he's an absolute tank now, and pretty much no Championship defender can really stop what he's trying to do when he's got the ball at his feet and trying to play it out wide or play it into what could now be Zach Clough or somebody running in behind.
Absolutely. I think his hold-up play was fantastic at the weekend. Britta Sombalonga, I mean, like you said, it scored a hatful of goals under Stuart Pearce, and he was quick, and he was really, him and Mikel Antonio really did terrorise Championship defences under Stuart Pearce. But I think Britta Sombalonga now obviously bulked up a little bit, and he's coming back into form, and I think that's going to be key for the rest of the season, especially once they get, I think Forest could well have one of the most potent attacking threats in a front four of a Sombalonga up front, Clough, Osborne and McCormack in behind, and I think that could really cause some trouble for some Championship defences, Joe.
It definitely could. They've got a plethora of attacking options there, but like you say, it's a vital component having a Sombalonga fit and on song with him scoring goals. That goal against Villa really typified what he's all about, his poaching instincts as well, and he's capable of the spectacular as well, like those two early goals against Ipswich, I remember, back in I think November or December time. A real poacher of goals and ability to create all sorts on the turn of a sixpence. And then he's got the likes of Ross McCormack, who again is just capable of absolute brilliance holding up play in that number 10 role. You've also got the firepower of Velios and Bentner, who we've just mentioned are struggling to make the team. So in that sense, it really is testament to the strength and depth that Gary Brazil now has at his disposal, and with his tactics and his ability to lift the spirits and get the team going again and clear of the relegation zone, Forest are really looking up as opposed to looking down.
Absolutely. And talking of looking up, that's the direction Forest are looking for their next 3 games in the Championship: an away game tomorrow against Norwich, and then on Tuesday an away game in London against Fulham before they come come back to the City Ground next weekend on Saturday the 18th of February for a home game against Sheffield Wednesday, all teams above them at the moment in the Championship. But on this relatively good run of form by Forest standards this season, Tom, you must be looking at those games and thinking you can get something from maybe all three of them.
At home, I think Forest can certainly play against pretty much all the teams in the division. They have got the players. Brazil seem to have organised them now, so we shouldn't be conceding too many, certainly at home. And obviously now we almost have too many options in the attack, so it would be difficult to choose who to play. I think it's got to be Asamoah Longo and McCormack, to be honest. I think Clough and Brereton on the bench are pretty good options. And then you've obviously got Bentner and Velios not even getting in that squad. But yeah, I certainly think we should be picking up a few good results along the next few games.
Yeah, I think that Forest can definitely hope for at least between 6 and 9 points from those next four matches. Tough ties against Norwich and Sheffield Wednesday, with Sheffield Wednesday pushing for the playoffs, but they've come under fire in recent matches and not really shown the class that they showed at the start of the season. Really, still in fifth place though, I think, in the Championship, sixth place rather. So that will be a tough test, as will the Norwich game, of course. Sitting just below them in seventh. So in that sense, they've got a real tough task on their hands. But like you say, Tom, their plethora of attacking options is just is unbelievable. And I think if anyone gets injured, then there's key backups in on the bench and also off the bench as well, with those that haven't even been selected. I think they'll get a good amount of points in their next couple of games.
Absolutely. So things looking up on both sides of the Trent, hopefully within the next couple of weeks. Nottingham Forest looking to consolidate their mid-table position, and Notts County maybe hoping to just stretch a little bit away from Leyton Orient and Newport County at the bottom of League 2. That will be all for this week on Over the Trent. Join us next time when we will be bringing you all the news from the teams in red and black and white in Nottingham.